Tennessee, LSU, UConn, Stanford. These are the teams that make up the Final Four of the women's NCAA tournament. The matchups are this Sunday. And if you need a primer, yes, I need one. This segment is an excuse for me to educate myself, I must confess. And here to teach me is a professor of English literature at Harvard. Really. Steve Burt also happens to write for the Women's Hoops blog, and his book of poems about the WNBA is called Shot Clocks. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
So I want to break down these matchups. You described second seed LSU as patient.
Yes.
How will that help them against number one seed Tennessee?
Well, it might. LSU is going to want to slow things down. They want a low-scoring game. They like to use up the whole shot clock. And their best weapon is their center, Sylvia Fowles, who is quite tall, quite strong, and now in her senior year, quite smart about how to stay in the game. She's going to want to shut down those layups and make it hard for Tennessee to rebound. Tennessee has multiple good rebounders. They have the likely number one draft pick in this year's WNBA draft, Candace Parker. If she's healthy, she's going to score a lot of points, and she might score enough for Tennessee to win.
All right, let me break that all down. Candace Parker, you said if she is healthy, she can help Tennessee. What happened?
Well, what happened seems to be that she dislocated her shoulder more than once during Tennessee's Elite Eight game against Texas A&M. She returned to the game in the second half, but she couldn't really make jump shots. She may be just fine. They've certainly got some great trainers there and some great medical people. She may not be just fine. If she is not fine, I give LSU a good shot.
All right. Then you mentioned Sylvia Fowles, kind of an unfortunate name for a basketball player. You said she's quite tall. How tall are we talking?
I believe she is 6'6".
Wow. And what's her biggest skill besides being 6'6"?
She's got a lot of skills. She can block shots, although she doesn't always block all the shots she could because it's important for her to stay in the game and alter shots. It's quite hard to make a layup when she is down there near the basket. That's probably her most important skill. Her second most important skill, of course, is scoring. When she has got the ball down there, she's going to score. And one of the things about watching LSU is that when they don't know what else to do, their guards can just kind of throw the ball up in a high arcing pass somewhere near the basket, and most likely Sylvia, they call her Big Sil, is going to catch it and do something good with it, because unlike a lot of players who are that tall in the women's game, she's got up, she can jump, she can get higher than 6'6", and she can catch those passes that LSU will throw up.
All right. A name that I'm familiar with, actually, is Pat Summitt. She's one of the greatest coaches ever.
Yes,
Tennessee has that. But LSU had a very public coaching shuffle. They lost this woman named Sue Gunter, who was a pioneer in women's basketball.
Then she passed away.
Pokey Chapman took over. Chapman had to leave the tournament last year because there were allegations she had dated one of her players.
Yes, there were.
Now Van Chancellor is in charge?
Van Chancellor is in charge. He is telegenic. He's a very smart coach. He had a great run with the Houston Comets in the WNBA. He makes a lot of the offense happen. He runs a lot of those plays. The mastermind behind LSU's defense this year, as in years past, is associate head coach Bob Starkey. And he led their tournament run last year. He watches a lot of tape. He makes a lot of defensive game plans for them. He said last year that he did not want to be the head coach. He didn't want to be the public face of the program. He wanted to work on those plays and work on that tape and work with the players. And it looks this year like Bob Starkey and Van Chancellor make a really good pair.
We're talking to Steve Burt, who writes for the Women's Hoops blog about the NCAA Women's Finals. All right, on the other side, we have UConn versus Stanford. Before we go any further, we should be clear, you like the Lady Huskies. You're a fan.
That's right. I got into the game because my wife is from Connecticut, and she got me watching, and we both like UConn a lot.
All right. UConn has the legacy here,
right,
really. But in reality, did any of these players who were going to play on Sunday play on any championship team?
No, they did not. They have not been to a Final Four.
So that makes things a little more interesting.
It does, although the biggest pressure on them, you might say, was to get to a Final Four, which they did in that extremely gritty and emotional and also pretty low-scoring game against Rutgers. So now you might say they can have more fun, and the game against Stanford should be fun to watch because neither of those teams is a slow-it-down defensive grind kind of team. UConn is very good defensively, but they also like to score, and they have some players who can score 20, 25 points in a game. Stanford is a team that I would say has better offense than defense. That's been true all year. They've got one of the most fun one-on-one players in the women's college game in Candace Wiggins, and they've also got a lot of three-point shooters.
But UConn has the Big East Player of the Year, right?
Yes, they do, and the national first year of the year, and someone who is most people's pick, I'd say, for the national Player of the Year next year after Candace Parker goes to the pros. That would be Maya Moore. She is terrific. She is fun to watch. She's got a great work ethic. She'll work on both ends of the floor. She can steal, she can drive, she can burn you for three-pointers, and she can do pretty much almost everything except hang out in the low post, and UConn's got other players who can do that. Maya Moore can also block shots, which is unusual for a player who can run the floor.
She's like Wonder Woman.
She is like Wonder Woman, and she can do a little of everything. Usually it is she's a Wonder Woman to watch. In the game against Rutgers, Rutgers really concentrated on Tuesday night on shutting her down. I suppose you could use a magic lasso metaphor if you really want to. And one of the great things about that game for UConn fans was that the Huskies found a way to come back and win it, and even when she wasn't contributing a whole lot of points.
I'm going to ask you to get your poem out, because as we mentioned, you wrote a book of poems about the WNBA.
Yes.
This one specific poem, I'm going to ask you to read two or three lines from it. It's about Lindsay Whalen, a guard for the WNBA Connecticut Sun, who went to Minnesota. Just a little bit of your poem, please, sir.
Okay, I'll read the last half. As serious as science, picking clues and dodges that no other player sees, you find the skills that only you could use. Applause, then silence, scrape of distant shoes, then race through packed periphery to free space no one lifts a hand to. Win or lose, such small decisions run together, fuse in concentration, nothing like the ease we seem to see in all the skills you use till someone wins, then someone else will lose.
Very nice.
Very nice. College Hoops fan, poet, professor of English literature at Harvard. Steve Burt, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Hey, next on the show, policing the Wikipedia entries of the presidential candidates. No easy task in this contentious race. We're going to talk with the editors of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton's pages about the challenge of keeping up with the changes. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.